Thank you for inviting me to speak to you this evening. I'm anxious to share with you what God has put on my heart. Now, I am going to move this forward a little bit because I really like being close to y'all. And since they told me I can do this, I'm going for
it. Absolutely.
Thank you. There we go. So I love your theme for this year, Thriving in Motherhood. That's a challenge, isn't it? And what you've asked me to speak on tonight is sacrifice, thriving in sacrifice. So being a mother is synonymous with sacrifice, isn't it? I look around this room and I know many of you, and even the ones that I don't, I can tell you that your picture could be next to that definition in the dictionary of sacrifice. So whether your body was stretched at pregnancy or your heart was stretched through adoption, you have already sacrificed. You sacrificed in bringing a child into the world before you ever embraced that child. And now you've given up long conversations for coos and cuddles. And do you remember how you used to get those little jewelry boxes that had something special in it? And you've traded that for macaroni necklaces, right? So being a mom is synonymous with sacrifice. And if we're going to sacrifice, then we want to make sure that we're sacrificing for the right things. So let's talk a little bit about sacrifice. I gave you all a handout. They're on your table. Don't feel any obligation to take notes. I'm a very visual learner. It's the only way I can track. And actually, that might be the only way you can stay awake, depending on the kind of day that you've had. But don't feel any obligation, but they're there if you would like them. And I put on there something that was helpful to me in preparation, and that is a definition of sacrifice. The first one is more of a religious definition, and it refers to the act of surrendering a possession as an offering to God. But the second definition I found really helpful, and that has to do with the act of giving up something of value for the sake of something else regarded as more important or more worthy. So let's keep that in mind as we talk this evening. So from the very beginning of time, when Adam and Eve first chose their own way over God's way in the garden, and they sinned, God provided for them a covering for their sin. An animal was sacrificed as a substitute for their, to cover their sin. And this began a pattern that God established for us to understand that when we sin and deserve death and separation from Him, a covering is made through a sacrifice. An animal would die as a substitute. Now, the reason I share that with you is it's really important to the story that I'm going to share with you this night. And the story has a setting that began in the early 1000 BC timeframe. And it's a period of time when the people of Israel were living in the land that God had promised to them. And they were still highly influenced by the people that were living around them. And God gave them judges. And what would happen is the people would begin to sin, and they would be oppressed, and they would cry out to God, and God would send them a judge to rescue them, and they'd go back to following God, and then the cycle would repeat itself. So as we get to the end of the book of Judges in the Bible, at the very end of it, it says this: there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. See if some of this sounds a little bit familiar. There was no objective standard for right or wrong. There was actually chaos politically and socially. And enter into this scene a very obscure man and an obscure woman living in an unknown town. We could almost substitute our ordinary names and places into this story. And so I want to share with you a little bit about the story of Hannah. Because Hannah was in a situation that was more than just disappointing to her. It was frustrating. In her culture, it was actually shameful. Her name, they named Hannah. Is anybody named Hannah? Okay. The name Hannah means grace, but she was actually living in a situation that was very disgraceful for her because she was not able to have children. And in their culture, that your entire identity and purpose was centered on your motherhood. So she was experiencing this incredibly painful life situation. And that's likely why her husband took another wife, and that wife had children. And as if things weren't bad enough, this other wife is just badgering her. So it's a very frustrating situation. Well, every year they go to the tabernacle to offer a sacrifice. She is going obediently with her husband and this other wife. And during this very social time, she is so distressed that she cannot even eat. As a matter of fact, she's so depressed that she can't even appreciate the fact that she has a husband who loves her and is very devoted to her. And in her desperation, she begins to pour out her heart to God. And as she does that, it would have been typical to pray out loud, but she is just praying silently, and the priest misunderstands her and thinks that she's drunk, as if things aren't already pretty bad, right? And eventually he comes to understand that she is just in deep distress. Well, what's interesting is as she prays, she begins to reorder her priorities. And instead of asking for a child so that she can go, and I'm sure like everybody else was when they would meet for these, this particular sacrifice was involved a feast, you can imagine what the table talk was like, right? And you haven't seen each other in a while, you're comparing notes, looking at each other's kids. She could have been thinking, finally, I want a child so I can be part of this scenario that I have been left out of for so long. But she reorders her priorities and she begins to pray, and she says, if you give me a son, I will dedicate that son to the Lord. She no longer wanted a son just for her own sake. And we read that she ate and her face was no longer downcast. And eventually that prayer of Hannah's was answered. And in due time, that child would grow up to be Samuel, and he would be a prophet and a judge who would actually influence the entire nation to turn from idolatry and to worship God. So I'm going to read to you just a few verses that I want us to focus on this evening as we take some principles away from this. I actually have this on the back side of your paper if you want to follow along. I know some of you may have a Bible with you or on your phone, but if you want to read from the version that I'm reading from, I'm going to read just a little bit. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord, beginning in verse 21. The man Elkanah and his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. Now that was the sacrifice that would be associated with her fulfilling her vow. And she actually took even more than what was expected. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. And then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, that's the priest. And she said, oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed. I'll bet many of you are familiar with this verse. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. Now, that phrase, lent to the Lord, really bugged me, because it's like, I'm loaning him to you, God, and at some point, you know, if you're loaning something, what eventually happens? Yeah, you get it back, right? So, I did a little research, because I thought, that just doesn't sound quite right. The word lent actually literally means to give back what was asked. Does that give you a broader perspective on that? She simply was giving back what God had given to her. So the first thing that I want to talk with you about is sacrificing your child. Now, I want you to think not the first definition, but the second one, okay? Think the word surrender, all right? Surrendering our child. Hannah was not giving out of her surplus. She had one child, okay? She didn't know that God was going to bless her with more. She didn't know who he was going to become. We know more of the story as we go through it. She didn't know that. Doesn't that sound a lot like our Heavenly Father, his one son that he sacrificed for us? So I really want this to be practical tonight as we go through this, and hopefully you're going to let that happen as you discuss at your tables. But I just want to start out by saying this application should not be taken so literally that you bring your three-year-olds to church and leave them with Pastor Jesse and Pastor Holly. I don't think that would go real well. So I just want to make that clear up front. So what does it look, I mean, they can only dust hymn books for so long, right? I know you could probably get some shopping done, but that's just, that's not the application here, okay? So what does that look like? Well, one option to consider is, I'm sure many of you have gone through the child dedication classes at Emmanuel and have dedicated your child as part of one of the worship services that we do at the church. And it's based on this passage, the idea of making public the fact that our child belongs to the Lord and we're dedicating ourselves to raising that child to know him. But I would suggest to you, it's something that you can do regularly as you start your day and you wake your little one, or more likely they wake you, to be thinking, Lord, this is your day, this is your child. I'm just reminding myself as I tuck them in bed at night, reminding myself, this child belongs to you. When our kids were each born, as soon as we had a private moment in the birthing room, we prayed together to remind ourselves, Lord, this child belongs to you. I still remember when our second son, Drew, was about 3 days old and he spiked a really high fever in the middle of the night. I still remember exactly where I was on the ramp exiting 395 to go to Fairfax Hospital and saying, Lord, this child is yours. So moments of fear are good moments to remind ourselves our children belong to him. So if you notice, she says he's given to the Lord as long as he lives. Sacrifice is a stewardship, isn't it? We don't own our kids. The custodian doesn't own the house. The custodian takes care of the house and is responsible to the owner. So we are stewards of our children and we are responsible to God for how we raise them. It really is our highest responsibility, isn't it? I love the verse from Psalm 145, verse 4. It says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. So it is a really heavy, important responsibility, our stewardship. But it has limits, and that's a good thing, because we cannot possibly be everything our children need, right? And we're not supposed to be. So it's our role to teach our children that God will be everything that they need for him to be. So if we're going to thrive in sacrificing our child, it means that we surrender them to the Lord. Let me tell you what happens if we don't. We can begin, and you're looking at somebody who's speaking from experience, we can hold on tightly. And it's easy to put our identity centered in our kids, isn't it? And it happens so easily because they are so precious to us. And I know we all want to be really good moms. But if we hold that too tightly, let me tell you what happens. That child begins to take a higher priority in our hearts than God intended for it to be. And that child can actually become an idol. So we can thrive in sacrificing by realizing it's a stewardship, but it has limits, and we give our kids to the Lord. So secondly, we can sacrifice with eternity in view. So in the first chapter of Samuel, a little bit earlier than where I read, it says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. So just think how she was looking at this. Hannah was not thinking about raising a baby. She was thinking about raising a man. You are not raising a baby. You're raising a man or a woman, aren't you? She had took a long view. Now, not only that, this part really caught me when I started studying this. I will never be able to do justice in this short time to this story. I hope you go back and study it on your own because it is so rich. But here's what else she said, and I read this earlier. As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Dwell where? It wasn't the tabernacle. Dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Do you hear her view in that? She has a long view that goes beyond the child's earthly life to eternity. She has a sacrifice with an eternal view in mind. So I have to say, moms, when we're in the, and I say we, I'm identifying with you because I remember it's you, it's not me anymore. But when you are in the trenches of what feels like endless crying and cuddling and diapers and discipline, I just want to encourage you to keep that long-term, eternal perspective. Do you realize when Hannah brought her child, he was probably, she said she was, he was going to be weaned. They say that that was probably around age 3. We don't know when this sacrifice took place, that they were going to the tabernacle. So somewhere probably between around the ages of 3 and 4 is when she took him and left him at the temple. What did she do in those first 3 or 4 years that prepared him to be ready? I get goosebumps thinking about that. I just am picturing the time that she put into preparing him for the role that God had for him. And clearly, God was doing something very special in Hannah and Samuel's life. It was kind of unique. But she was so focused on raising him in a way that he would be prepared to serve the Lord. So I want to encourage us to think about this. We have a limited time, a very short time, to impact for eternity. And I can tell you, as your kids start growing, they get involved in more and more activities, right? And you actually have less and less time. So this is a short-term investment with a long-term benefit to your child. And that investment takes sacrifice. It takes giving something up in order to put that time into your child. Training takes time. I know we like to say quality versus quantity, but we all know there is no quality without quantity, right? It takes time to teach. It took time for Hannah to explain to her child who God was. To pray with him and to pray for him took time. To teach him how to interact with other people with love and kindness and reflect God in his interactions with other people took time. I was thinking about what Hannah would have had at her disposal. Certainly not her own private copy of God's word, but she would have grown up hearing the words of Moses in Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And when you read Hannah's prayer in the second chapter of Samuel, you can tell God's word was on her heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Do you hear the intentionality of that? Don't you long for that, to be that intentional with your kids and teaching them? That takes time. And you shall talk of them when you sit at your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. So all along the way, we're talking and training our children. It's a sacrifice with eternity in view. Now, moms, I don't have to tell you this. You already know this. Don't expect the culture to support you in this. They're not going to have the same values that you have for your kids. But I will tell you this, your church family supports you. We are behind you. You have mentor moms. I'm looking at these mentor moms, and they're some of my best friends, and we've raised kids together, and they have such wisdom, and they're ready to encourage you in your desire to train your children to know and love God. But as you're trying to tune out the voices of the culture, I'm going to tell you some that I had to work at tuning out that will probably be voices that you have to tune out to. Don't sacrifice time for the sake of stuff. We live in a really materialistic society, and it's hard to tune that out. But don't confuse indulgence for sacrifice. Okay, I mean, we can give up to give them the petting zoo birthday party. And we can do that. But that's not the same as investing time, is it? The size of your home is not more important than your investment of time. The year of your car is not more important than the investment of your time. Having everything on your baby list is not more important than the investment of your time. And we all long to have savings and an education fund, and you're probably even thinking ahead to retirement sometimes. And we like the security of knowing those things are in place, but I can just tell you it's God that's going to provide those things for us, isn't it? We want to depend on him. Honestly, our kids have thanked us for not buying them everything that they wanted. I didn't ever think I would ever hear that coming from them, but I have. They've actually said thank you for teaching us to work and to wait for things and not giving us things that easily. The culture's gonna tell you that you can have it all and do it all, and we know that's not true. We each have 24 hours in our day. We have to invest them wisely. So I'm not going to pretend that I can tell you what that looks like in your circumstances. I have no idea what your life is like. I just want to encourage you to really wrestle with where your time goes, because we all know how important it is. Our circumstances are unique for each one of us. And I'm going to share with you a little bit of my personal story and what I wrestled with when I was at your stage, and hopefully that will be helpful to you in some way. But the biggest thing I want you to hear is struggle with it, wrestle with it right now where your time goes, and you won't be sorry for that later. When Steve and I found out that I was pregnant with our first son, it happened a little faster than I was anticipating. We'd been married for 4 years. But I had some things that we needed to think through. For one thing, I really loved my job. I was a teacher, and I had some goals of things that I had hoped to accomplish before I quit teaching, and I wasn't there yet. And we had planned on going to Europe. I love to travel. It was like, oh no, it looks like that's not gonna happen now. At the same time, Steve had quit teaching and gone into ministry full time, and we were involved in youth ministry, some of my favorite years of my life. I'm jealous of you, Alyssa and Joyce. But we had decided we needed to move into a slightly larger house that had a rec room, because we had teens in our house all the time. So we had just increased our mortgage payment. Steve had started seminary. We had seminary bills to pay now. And we were thinking about going from two salaries to one. And on paper, I can tell you honestly, it didn't look like it was really going to go that well. I didn't know how that was going to work. And remember, I was really not totally on board with this idea of me staying home. Now, I love children. I wasn't that much of a baby person, to be honest. So I knew I needed to get my heart right before God. So here is what I began praying. Lord, I don't know what you have for me in this next season of life. Everybody says it goes fast. I want to be wise about this. I don't know where my heart is, but would you make me willing to be willing to do whatever you call me to do? And that was the most important part of that conversation I had with God, was my willingness for him to show me what he had for me personally with my husband. And I have to tell you, after our first son was born, my heart changed. And I began to sense that some of those skills that had brought me so much satisfaction and fulfillment in my workplace, I was actually able to use at home. And then I began getting more involved in ministry. And I will never forget when Mom started and I was involved in that, all of a sudden I was leading a steering committee meeting and realized, this is the same skill that I used when I was leading the local screening committees at my school. And I began to use some of those skills in different arenas. So, you know, some of the decisions we make feel like they're gonna be such long, major decisions, and sometimes they are temporary and they're short. They're for a season. So I just wanna encourage you to think about the things, I'm talking specifically about work, but there's so many things that can interfere with our time with our kids during this really critical season of child raising. Ministry for me was one of those things. You know, being involved in ministry, you get to talk to adults, right? You get to do something, it feels like it matters. And there were times that I realized, oh my goodness, I need to pull back. My life is out of balance. You know, we can be a stay-at-home mom and not be at home, right? And those phones, I don't need to tell you how much time they can steal, right? So my encouragement to you is simply to look at this season of life and consider sacrificing with a long view, an eternal view in mind. Yesterday, our oldest son called me and said, I just want to thank you because I remember 33 years ago today is when I came to faith in Christ. And I'm just calling you to thank you and Dad for investing me and teaching me about Jesus. And he called his grandparents to thank them for telling us about Jesus. So sometimes you wait a long time for the payoff, right? But I will tell you this, I don't know of any moms who say, I wish I'd spent less time with my children when they were young. So I'm going to be praying for you that you can figure out how to do that. It impacts our priorities, doesn't it, when we look at sacrificing with an eternal viewpoint. I have on your paper a quote by Amy Carmichael that echoes my heart for you, so I hope you'll read that when you have time. So the next point that I want to make is just sacrifice yourself first. So when we first met Hannah, she was distressed, angry, sad. Her life was not going like she wanted. Have you ever felt found yourself in situations where you're sacrificing something that you really didn't want to? You know, it's one thing to offer when we're in control, right? It's a whole different ballgame when it's asked of us and it's not really something that we wanted. So when we find ourselves thinking, I shouldn't have to do this, it isn't right, this isn't what I've expected, we think about Hannah, and she recognized God's sovereignty. It said that the Lord had closed her womb. She realized that the situation she was in was because God had put her in that situation. And I think the reason that she didn't get stuck in self-pity, like I said, is in chapter 2 when you read her prayer, when you get a chance to. You will get a window into her heart. She loved God. It's clear to me that she knew God, which she would have known by hearing his words. So as we sacrifice ourselves, you have it on your paper. I'm going to read it to you, but Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a passage that might be familiar to it, but I love it written in the Message version because it really is helpful to me in understanding this better. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. When you think about sacrificing yourself, this is what it looks like, your ordinary everyday life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around, carrying babies, changing diapers, life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. So, you know, recently I found myself feeling very overwhelmed. I'm sure none of you can relate to that. I just found that I had a lot of responsibilities within our family and extended family, and I had a letter that came in the mail, and it indicated a problem that I was going to have to solve, and it was just that last thing that kind of put me over the edge. And I found myself just really feeling down and depressed, and I went into problem solving mode, which is what I usually do. And then I realized, you know what I need? I don't need to solve this problem. I need to go sit before the Lord. Because when we do that, it totally changes our perspective, right? So rather than feeling resentful about sacrificing my time to serve other people, I began to shift my perspective and saw it as a privilege. I love the verse from the end of Ephesians chapter 3. I say this one to myself often, strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. That's what we need, isn't it? And there's just no substitute for that besides spending time with God. So I know Jody Lubinick spoke to you all last month. If you didn't get to hear it, I hope you'll listen to it on the website. But I just want to encourage you, ladies, this book is your oxygen. I cannot sacrifice with a right perspective and without feeling resentful without time with God and getting his perspective. So I hope you'll share some ideas at your table tonight about how you do that. Share how you're struggling. Share what's working for you. I just want to encourage you to help each other with that. So the last point that I want to share with you is this. Hannah said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord." Even as we're sacrificing for our kids, we are doing it to the Lord. Just like Kelly was talking about, when we're thankful, we can just be thankful, but we want to be thankful to the Lord. We want to sacrifice to the Lord. So if you remember that definition of sacrifice, it's the act of giving up something valued, right? There are many things in your life you value. You value sleep, I'm sure. You value some time to yourself. There are times that you have to give up activities because somebody's got a fever and you can't join in. And you think, what's more worthy? What is more important? Well, our children are more important. Worthy, not so much. Sometimes you can give things up only to get a tantrum in response, right? So we can't count on that. You can't count on getting expressions of thanksgiving and gratitude. Although I will say, once my kids left home, I heard words of appreciation that I hadn't really expected to. I mean, when have you thanked your parents? Probably not until later in life, right? That might be a good takeaway tonight, is to thank your parents. But if we're counting on that, we're probably going to be pretty disappointed at some point. So if we want to sacrifice, we want it to be for something more worthy. And this has been a lifelong learning for me too. But the only thing more worthy is Jesus. Our kids are not more worthy, but Jesus is. Our kids are not more important, but Jesus is. So our sacrifice is an act of worship, and it's our hearts declaring, "You are worthy." So what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? Well, I found that our ordinary, everyday acts of service can have eternal meaning when we do them for Jesus. So we can fold laundry and change diapers and say, "Lord, I'm doing this for you." As a matter of fact, I would be really honest with you. There's some things that I've had to do, and I'm sure there are plenty that you're having to do too, that I've said, "Lord, I would only do this for you, because this is really something I don't feel like doing." But do you realize then it has eternal significance? Because we're sacrificing to the Lord. So when you're desperate for sleep and you find yourself rocking your crying baby at 3 a.m., you can say, "Lord, I want to do this for you because you've done this so much for me. You're the only one worthy." Now, you remember when we started, I was talking to you about the very first sacrifice. So let's end tonight with thinking about the very last sacrifice. After centuries of offering lambs as a sacrifice for sin, I think we can grasp a little bit more of the wonder when John the Baptist looked at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He offered the final sacrifice. And when we offer our children to the Lord as a sacrifice with an eternal view, and we offer ourselves to raise them to know and love God, we can do that out of appreciation for all he has done. So I said at the beginning, sacrifice is synonymous with being a mom, right? But actually, sacrifice is synonymous with being a follower of Jesus. So on days when it's hard to sacrifice, let's look up at the cross and remember him. And as we do, may our voices break out in the sacrifice of praise, just like Hannah, who said, "My heart exults in the Lord. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you." So let me pray for you as we close. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have sacrificed for us, and you are our example. And we want to learn to sacrifice and to serve others out of our love for you and our appreciation for you. So Lord, would you bless these moms as they serve their children and their families and so many others? Would you give them great joy as they learn to do that for you? Would you give them wisdom as they try to figure out how to invest this very short period of time that they have in the lives of their kids with a view of it for eternity? And Father, in Hebrews, the writer tells us, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." So Lord, would you bless the efforts of these moms who are trying so hard to do good and to share what you've given them? And we know that you are pleased with that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.